Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
State Senator George Borrello. Senator, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be back on with you.
Senator, there's a lot of questions around the natural gas ban, but I want to start this interview, if it's okay with you, by playing a clip from State Senator Tim Kennedy. Is that okay?
Sure.
I'm going to play you this, and then I want your reaction. This is what Tim Kennedy told our Tim Wenger last week.
Any thoughts to your constituents who are concerned about where the fossil fuel issue is going and this whole concern that many of your constituents have about natural gas appliances in their homes?
Yeah, I think there's been an entire misinformation campaign from the other side, and the facts have been maligned. No one's banning gas stoves. No one is taking anybody's gas stoves away, and anything to speak to that is just unfactual and untrue.
Do you expect some sort of a compromise in what's in the budget from...
No, I expect that we're going to continue to move forward and strike a balance between making sure that people have the energy that they need to power their homes, and we are also looking at ways to protect the environment.
But in the budget, it is written that, you know, beginning in 2025, 2030, 2035, that those appliances would not be available to, you know, certain levels of either residential or commercial buildings.
Well, I think it's a starting point for a conversation that was proposed, but I know there's been a lot of pushback, and so that's exactly what the community is doing. That's exactly what we're doing.
All right, Senator, we've heard this from a lot of the Democrats, especially upstate Democrats. What's your response to him calling this misinformation?
Well, first and foremost, this is not the beginning of a conversation. It's the opposite. This has been going on since the Democrats took control of the Senate in 2019, and this is the plan. This is not the beginning of a conversation. These are no longer aspirational goals. This is absolutely the plan to eliminate reliable forms of energy entirely in New York State to meet this ridiculous Climate Action Council scoping plan goal. So I understand that why, you know, Senator Kennedy and my other colleagues on the other side of the aisle are trying to walk this back now, because they, like us, are getting inundated with calls and emails over the concerns of what's going to happen, especially after the Christmas storm where we saw almost 50 people die. Add another zero or two to that if we were totally electrified. So I'm sure they're concerned, because they've realized that they've allowed this radical far left agenda based out of New York City really dominate this process. And now, you know, it's reality. It's in the budget, and the governor is supporting it.
You know, it almost sounds when asked about it, Senator, that there are people in Albany that were surprised by this proposal. Was this surprising, or has this been what was proposed before it was proposed, if you get what I'm saying?
This should be a surprise to no one. We've been talking about this for the last 2 years. Also, on top of that, I think that there was maybe some hope that the governor would have enough spine to stand up to these radicals, but that did not happen. But the bottom line is, you know, this has been the plan. They believe that they've defined this climate crisis as a existential threat to humanity. And you can justify a lot of ridiculous and stupid things when you define something as an existential threat to humanity. They're pushing forward with this. You know, we had a hearing on this, and I asked the questions. Professor Horvath from Cornell, I asked him, I said, you know, you've been working on this. He's on the Climate Action Council for over 2 years now. We're talking about devastating New York State's economy, driving manufacturers out, driving families out. Can you please tell me what percentage of total greenhouse gas emissions globally is New York State responsible for? His response was, I don't know. And after 2 years of discussing this didn't come up. That is the goal that we're trying to achieve here. What's the benefit going to be? This shows you how ridiculous and out of touch. His response is, well, it's not much, but you know that New York needs to lead by example. And my response to that was, yeah, like the first lemming off the cliff leads by example. This is going to do literally nothing to affect climate change, but it will absolutely devastate New York's economy.
You know, you talk about New York's economy and also the grid. I've brought this up numerous times on this show. The New York State grid, from what I've heard from people who understand, you know, electricity, is not built to take on, you know, the extra furnaces that would go on there. And yes, the extra stoves. Has this been brought up in Albany? Has there been a response to what are we going to do about the way the grids are throughout New York State?
Well, they've danced around that subject. When you have folks like Gavin Donahue from the Independent Power Producers of New York talk about the fact that we're going to have to more than double the generating capacity in New York State over the next 10 years. And, you know, that's more than we have done in the last 50 years or more as far as adding capacity. There's just no plan. You have to remember, this has not been discussed with a broad cross-section of stakeholders, engineers, scientists, people that are experts in energy. The Climate Action Council is largely made up of green energy people, of far-left environmentalists, and people that really and arrogant people that think if they set the goal that somehow the seas will part and all of a sudden this technology will magically appear and we will be able to do this because New York State has mandated it. And that's the real combination of arrogance and ignorance that is going to be devastating for New York State.
Now, let me just, this is how I understand it. Tell me if I'm right or not. 2025 is when there won't be any natural gas for new home builds. 2028 for large builds. 2030, as I understand it, you can no longer purchase a gas-powered appliance. Is that correct?
That's correct, but I will tell you that there's not even a lot of clarity on that. During our recent budget hearings, I asked the head of the agriculture, the ag markets, about exemptions for agriculture. And, you know, he insisted, oh, no, New York has agriculture is excluded from some of these natural gas bans. And then we found out afterwards that's absolutely not the case. I wrote a letter to the governor asking for clarity to assure that, you know, our farmers are going to be able to, you know, heat their greenhouses, keep their animals warm, do all the things that they need to do to continue on in agriculture. So far, no response. But the bottom line is there is not a lot of clarity on those deadlines. And what's worse is that you have folks like Brian Kavanaugh, who is the senator from New York City and chairman of the Housing Committee, who believes that these timelines need to be expedited. He's actually introduced a bill, and it passed committee last month, to actually speed up the electrification process for buildings. So if it's not crazy enough, they're trying to find a way to make it crazier. So there is no, those dates, by the way, are not only are they subject to change, but they're subject to actually being, the time is being shortened if my colleagues in New York City get their way.
Is this right down party lines, or are there some Democrats jumping on board with Republicans to say, hey, this isn't what our constituents want?
You know, you certainly have a few upstate Democrats that are saying those things, but the reality is that they're having no impact. You know, in Albany, the everything is predetermined. You know, the only time that Democrats vote against a Democrat bill is when it won't change the outcome. You know, I've been in the Senate for, you know, over 3 years now, and I've yet to see a Democrat bill fail on the floor of the Senate. So that tells you that they give political cover to some of their marginal members. But in the reality is that they are all supportive of this. They don't want to. They're too afraid to speak out forcefully or actually do anything about it. And that's the troubling part about this.
Now, I have brought, I have had Senators Gallivan and Ort, and now you on this program. I have extended invites to Kennedy and Ryan. They have not yet appeared on Hardline. But the three of you, you, Ort, and Gallivan, have referenced the snowstorm that we just saw here in Western New York, followed by an ice storm that could have been even worse here in Western New York. And, you know, the importance of gas-powered furnaces to keep your house warm. Has that been brought up at all in Albany?
Well, I brought up that fact during the Climate Action Council hearing, the scoping plan hearing. And let's not forget that backup generators, which keep hospitals and nursing homes running, that keep our emergency services going, that create safe shelters for people during storms like this, they're all powered by natural gas and diesel. So if you eliminate natural gas, and I asked that question of the folks from IPNI and from National Fuel, how will we power backup generators without natural gas? And the answer is, we don't know. And by the way, the people that created this plant, they don't know either. They're talking about battery storage, which, again, is technology that's not even there yet. But yet here we are with the clock ticking, and we're going to start eliminating natural gas in just a couple of years. It's just outrageous.
Now, it seems, you know, we're talking so much about this natural gas ban. It's in the proposed budget. But if I'm not mistaken, there's also a 2035 ban on gas-powered automobiles. Does that still stand as we speak today?
Absolutely does. And once again, you have members, you know, of the Democratic Conference that would like to speed that timeline up. So you're going to see more and more legislation to try to prove that, again, we're more progressive than California, because that's really the race, right? This is not about actually doing anything good about climate change or whatever it is. This is about this kind of ridiculous race to prove who's more progressive, California or New York. And that's really the basis for everything that happens in Albany. They get jealous when California, you know, proposes something crazy, and they have to prove that they're crazier.
You know, this I might be misunderstanding this, and if so, just tell me. But, you know, with this push away from oil, from gas, you know, I can think of places throughout the state that store gas. You know, has there been any talk about getting rid of those now that New York State wants to move away from gas? Have they said, you know, it's stored and it hurts the environment? Has any of that been brought up?
No, it hasn't. But let's keep in mind, there's a dirty little secret here, and truly a dirty little secret. New York State is now importing more power than it ever has. You know, we shut down the NRG plant in Dunkirk and in Tonawanda, which were supposed to be repowered with natural gas from coal. Instead of saying, yeah, we're going to figure out a way to do this and truly bring in clean energy, what they did was spent hundreds of millions of dollars to run transmission lines to some of the dirtiest old-fashioned coal plants in America, places like Homer City, Pennsylvania. So we're ramping up these pollution-spewing old-fashioned power plants in Pennsylvania and Ohio to meet New York's demand. And during peak times, it's as much as 50% of the power for New York State is provided from areas outside of New York State, much of which is old-fashioned fossil fuel coal plants. This is just a joke. It's to pretend that we're doing something about climate change. In the end, we're actually going backwards. We would be better off. We have a better impact on the environment, on human health, and on pollution if we had repowered those plants with natural gas rather than importing power from other states like Pennsylvania. So this is just a total farce.
You know, I think of summer. I think of Bill's tailgates, and I think of propane gas. Has that been mentioned at all in Albany as the next thing to ban?
Well, you know, there's no doubt that's on the list. You know, it's fossil fuel, right? So propane is definitely going to be eliminated. And yes, it's certainly going to make it difficult for you to run your grill. But what about those folks that live in rural areas like those that I represent, where that is their source of power, of heat, of everything? There's rural areas where you do not have, electric lines and gas lines, and people, their homes are dependent on having a large, tank of of gas so that they can actually survive the winter. Those are the things that are going to be banned without any plan to what are you going to do to create infrastructure that's not there, that's never been there, that's financially not feasible to get there when you ban something like propane.
You know, the governor mentioned exceptions for things like backup energy and stuff like that. But Assemblyman Marinello brought up a good point. You know, eventually, if we look 20 years down the road and we've gotten rid of most of the natural gas use in New York State, and we've gotten rid of most of the cars that use gas in New York State, well, where are we going to get gas for backup energy in New York State if no one's regularly using it? Has that been mentioned at all in Albany?
Absolutely. You know, that was one of the things that was brought up by National Fuel, that it will no longer be financially feasible for them to maintain those gas lines if they have very few users or only using it as some kind of emergency backup. But again, there's been no real plan to transition. This is just that here's the hard deadline that the Democrats feel that they can force New Yorkers to meet, and somehow the technology will appear. But you're right, there is no plan for that, but it was brought up as a major concern. There were 22 members on this Climate Action Council. Only three of them are actually any at all involved in reliable forms of energy like gas and electric. The rest of them were environmentalists, they were academics, they were members of the governor's staff, folks that really have no knowledge or and certainly no expertise in being able to create a plan that would actually be feasible to make this happen. So it's truly, it has been a tragic event that people have not realized has happened, that this scoping plan was passed and is now NYSERDA, DEC, and other state agencies now have the power to implement this. There's nothing else, nothing further has to happen legislatively. In fact, Senator Liz Krueger, chair of finance, who oversaw that scoping plan hearing, asked that question: do we need to do anything else, or can you just move forward? And the answer was, they now have the authority. These agencies now have the authority to implement this plan.
You know, I'm thinking 2031. My gas powered furnace goes. Has anyone looked into how much it will cost to, I have to change the connection in my home. I have to make my home ready for an electric furnace. Has anyone broken down what that will cost the average resident in New York State?
Yeah, there's been some estimates. I've heard anywhere from $25,000 to $75,000 to electrify a home, to do that conversion. If you look at they gave one estimate. It was like $276 billion is what it's going to cost to electrify New York. And that number is horribly low. In fact, with this professor during the scoping plan, I did some simple math. I said, there are, I can't remember now, I think it was 40,000 private homes in New York State. And even at an average cost of $50,000 a home, that's more than the $276 billion. And that's before you start talking about electrifying buildings and, everything else in New York State that needs to be electrified. So they really have no clue what this is going to cost. But I would say it's a minimum of $1 trillion, trillion with a T, in order to do this. And that's certainly going to be on the backs of every New Yorker.
State Senator George Borrello, we appreciate you calling in during the week, and happy we were able to get the full segment here today.
Yeah, glad to be back on with you. Thank you so much.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,